Welcome to episode 15 of the Tomo on the Rocks podcast. I'm here with my boy Jack. How's it going, buddy?
What's up, Thomas?
We're back on the podcast grind. It's been a few months, but we're down in Jack's basement ready to record. How's it going, Jackie? What have you been up to recently?
Not too much, man.
We're excited. We have a new guest. We've got a guest episode. We've got our good friend Jake Armstrong on the podcast. How's it going, Jaker?
Pretty good, Thomas. It's been a while. How you doing?
I'm good. We're excited to get a good trio together to record a podcast with our friend, as I said, Jake Armstrong and Jackie. Jack, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. It feels like a son's come home.
Yeah. We haven't seen Jake in a while. Let's start off, Jake. Let's think about the first time you ever met me. Do you remember the first time you met me back in high school? Can you tell that story?
I do, Thomas. It was grade 10 history class.
Oh, I know it was.
Probably the best class, the most influential class of my life. Mr. Shake.
Good old Shaker.
Yeah, I don't think he gave a shit about that class at all.
No, I think it was just for the money. He
read the textbook and copied it onto a piece of paper.
He was a smart guy, though. Good teacher.
Gave us lots of time to, talk about the Jennies and...
Well, Jake, there's a more important part of that class where you kind of didn't really pay attention to me for the first couple classes. Do you remember that part, or is that just me?
Dweeb.
Yeah, so Jake...
I'm pretty cool.
He's not going to tell the story, but when we first met Jake, I sat right behind him in history class, and he kind of ignored me for the first couple weeks, and then he figured out, hey, this guy knows a bit about hockey, so then he started talking to me all of a sudden.
I'm going
to
stop.
And next thing you know, 2 years later, we're living in the same house, so he didn't want to tell that story, but I did it. Is that correct, Jake?
That's fairly accurate, yeah. Yeah. I just, try to be nice about the stories, try to bring some...
I like being nice, man.
I know.
I try to be a nice guy now, you know?
He is.
Be a judgmental...
His bullying days are way behind him.
I know. Behind me. Still ahead of me, though.
After 10 swirlies, you realize, hey, this guy actually... As he was plunging you into the toilet, he was like, did you see the Generals highlights, though?
He's like, this guy knows about hockey.
What'd you say about the Generals? They're good. I think this guy's cool.
So, as you know, this is an episode of the Tomo on the Rocks podcast. So, we're drinking a bit of a pint. And me and Jack kind of debated what we were going to have on the rocks today, and we decided that there would be nothing better than picking a Steam Whistle Ale, because we know that is Jake's favorite pint. Are you happy that we're having Steam Whistle?
I am pretty happy. I had one before I came.
Calm the nerves? Calm the nerves a bit?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I got offered, and I thought...
Have a couple Steam Whistles and
it's like getting a call with the pitch in the World Series, man.
Get the train rolling.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing about a good old Steam Whistle pint?
I don't know, honestly. Like, I feel like I was, it started off the lagers, My dad's a big lager guy, so first tasted the Steam Whistle Pilsner, though, and I was hooked in Alberta. Me and my dad were out in Banff, and...
So that's when you were that's a good story right there. You brought it right up.
Yeah.
What was that massive hill or mountain you were climbing with your dad where you almost died on it, you told us in second year, I believe it was.
You guys have a better name for it, but
yeah,
it's called the Devil's Thumb.
What happened on the Devil's Thumb?
It was like a really thin path, and my dad, we were trying to get up the mountain because it's a really cool lookout, but
and this is like Banff area?
Yeah. So I guess technically was it Banff at the time, or is it in Lake Louise? I guess it's Lake Louise. Anyways.
I love that place.
Big mountain.
Big, regardless. Nice, beautiful mountain. We thought, this, looked up this hike. Seems like a great idea, It seems fairly easy. You get to see, two lakes on either side, once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Devil's Thumb sounds inviting.
But then we get going, and my dad's like, oh, yeah, we'll just cut up this part. And he has his, legs sprawled, and he's hanging onto the side of the mountain, and... I have the GoPro on, and I'm like, fuck, I'm turning this off. My dad might fall off the fucking side of the mountain, and I got it on film.
Is it live? It's going to end up a live leak.
Luckily, we, we figured it out and decided to turn back, and yeah, it's a legendary story that my...
only you and your dad have
my
together.
My mom should never know about.
So, well, hopefully she's not listening to the podcast then.
You gotta have one of those mom shouldn't know about it in the podcast, right?
Exactly.
We filter moms out of the
She podcast. Probably knows, though. So.
It's okay. We won't tell her.
The GoPro so, didn't turn off.
Let's go a few years back, Jake. So, I guess, what are we in? 2020 now? So, 2015. is when, so in high school, Jake, Jack, and I really became friends starting in about second year. So maybe that's about 2013. We became really good friends. Right. And then Jake and I were lucky enough to go to school together. So Jake, what's one of your best memories of going to Queens together with myself and also Jack visiting a bunch of times up there? What were kind of your takeaways from going to Queens, and what was your kind of your good memories from going there?
I guess just like, you know, you're excited to leave town and getting to live with a bunch of your friends in a new town, a town
leave the nest.
I love, because my sister went there, so obviously I knew a lot about it before I went. But yeah, I guess just like having your own place and, you know, hanging out with the guys, and I don't know, like obviously we did a lot of stupid shit, but it's, you know, it's part of growing up, it's part of having fun.
We have seven guys in a house, I feel like. You're not gonna You're not gonna sit and balance your taxes on a Friday night.
The late nights, just talking shooting about up the shit. Talking about stuff, you know, supporting each other through different, we're all taking like different courses and have different interests, so it's gone interesting that way, right?
Especially when Jake is ripping the NBA 2K for about 5 hours on a Thursday night, and we're all trying to study.
Exactly. I feel like that's how it kind of started too. Like then 2K branched off and became such an integral part. And then I was like, oh, you guys are playing 2K? I'm going to download that, and then I'm going to use all my time not in school to get it good at it and beat your guys all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, there's just, I don't even know where to start. I guess it's just, like, all of it, you know? Like
from the time we're watching the Jays in the World Series in 2015 in my room. We're getting noise complaints. We don't have any beer or alcohol. Yeah, we're just screaming so loud about the Jays winning.
Two high-pitched voices.
They open the door and it's like, oh, there's two just guys sitting here cheering on the Jays, right? When Bautista's doing the bat flip.
One kid's like, shit, I gotta go to med school in 4 years. And I'm like, I'm watching the Jays.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Anyways.
Shut the fuck up. You guys got a noise complaint when watching it?
Yeah, I know. We were just watching the game casually. First year. We're in our dorm room. Me and Jake are watching on our laptops.
Two off-pitch saxophones were screaming Bautista.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No instruments in the room. They open the door. It's me and Jake sitting in our chairs, drinking waters, just watching the game and screaming.
What's in those bottles, boys? Pours it out. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
So that was kind of first year. But then we moved into our house at 69 Nelson Street. It was a bit of a different experience. We moved in with a couple of our other friends, and that was a bit different, living on your own, cooking your own food. I know, Jake, you love to cook your own food.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, not at the beginning then, but I definitely have learned, like, I like to cook, for sure.
On that note, that was a big thing for Jake in second year, because that was kind of when you started to become vegan, right?
Yeah, I became, sort of, like,
Within the last three years, right? Yeah,
definitely. Like, first year, I was thinking about it a lot. And
it was a bit harder, though, with the university calves, right? To find everything you wanted.
I thought, at first, I mean, like, I was like, fuck, I'm not eating a lot. I'm trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But I was determined to figure it out. So here we are four and a half years later, so.
Yeah.
Especially back then, they never accommodated for anything like that.
Yeah,
like,
they
had the four major food groups, and then if you didn't like meat, there was like a salad bar.
Yeah,
and they were like, just eat that.
A lot of time, chickpeas and spinach, and like.
I feel like you definitely would. Would you agree that if you went to school now, it'd probably be a lot easier to get some food?
Oh, definitely. But I mean, even Queens, like, there's so many more kids. Even when I noticed once I left, like, talking about veganism or talking about it as like, you know,
you're like a pioneer there.
A socially good choice. Like, people are more aware. People are pushing for it more, right? I feel like it was like quiet vegans are like, you know, it'd be kind of nice. And now people are like, we want some fucking vegan food.
Yeah. So
on our campus,
do you want to kind of get into that? What your opinion is on that, and kind of why you got into that? Because I think having you on the pod with somebody who has different life choices than Jack and I,
definitely,
I think it's good to see different opinions on why you're kind of choosing that life choice.
I mean, like, of course, part of it is, like, I was brought up vegetarian.
Your mom was vegetarian, and your sister?
My mom and my sister have always kind of been, like, ethical vegetarians for, like, you know, the sake of the animals, stuff like that.
And how old is your sister? She's 2-3 years older than you?
Oh, she's five, well, four and a half.
Very often.
Yeah. She looks young for her age, Jake.
Yeah,
what
fair
can
enough,
I say?
Fair
what
enough.
Can I
People
say?
Are like, you've been a nurse for 5 years?
Oh, she's your younger sister.
Is that good?
Yeah. And she's, like, the best nurse there is.
Ever.
Is that good?
But yeah, like, I mean, so I've always kind of had that thought of, you know, even in high school, like, being vegetarian, like, it was like, what, you're vegetarian? So, like, I think I was the only vegetarian I knew of. I mean, I knew other people who, like, said they were, but you know, yeah, how that goes.
They're just phony posers.
But
I caught him eating a meat sub, you know, after school hours.
It's definitely like, obviously, part of it. I think a large part of it is like the social aspect of like, you know, you go to a friend's house and their parents are kind of like, they don't, you know, it's just.
You know, eggs and bacon for everybody.
Exactly. Like, it's like, well, actually, hold on. And they're like, oh shit, this kid's vegetarian. And
really
reason,
panic.
For some reason, they're like, holy fuck, what is he going to eat? Like, we dust? I don't know. And it's like,
we
no.
Grass
like,
clippings in the back and yogurt. If you
we can figure it out.
So was that kind of tough for you to make that decision, or was that kind of something that's just grafted into your life?
I guess, like, I don't know. When I was younger, my dad obviously like gave me meat. So I never really liked it that much, though, to be honest. I mean, I liked like more of my potatoes and corn, and I liked cheese a lot. So I thought that was gonna be really hard to give up. I was like, "Fuck!" Like,
good old cheese string.
I honestly said that to myself. Like, yeah. I said that.
How will I
live
without
cheese?
When
I was younger, I was like, "I'm vegetarian. That's as far as I can go." Because I just, yeah. I love.
He's just
cheese.
Sitting there like pulling down the cheese string.
I can't give this up.
Make the person.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can't give up Cheddar Bob.
No. But, like, yeah. And then eventually I was just, like, old enough and where I was just, like, I'm gonna learn more about, you know, the production of dairy and eggs and things like that. And I was like, I don't really feel good about this decision. And I realized, like, people need to know more about where their food comes from and kind of, because we're kind of disconnected from, especially when you live in the city or the suburbs, like, we don't know, you know. Yeah. You kind of just, you pick it up from the grocery store.
Yeah, you go to Metro and you just eat it.
You don't really think about what it is. So I guess it's just like, I don't know, as someone who's really, I don't know, I'm really drawn to animals and nature. Yeah. And I feel a strong connection to them. So I guess that's part of the bias toward it. But there's so many more things, like the environment, people's health.
Yeah.
So many more doctors coming about it. But, I mean, I can go on and on, but...
Please do.
Yeah, I guess it's just like I just gained the gumption to kind of think for myself and go on for myself, and it felt good. I mean, my sister's vegan as well, so
I'm sure that plays
having
a huge
someone
part
to
too.
Be like, yo, like, I don't know, what should I eat? Like, I feel kind of weird at the beginning.
Yeah, especially because this guy could not cook his own meal. Probably in first year of me and him together, we were like, what's going on, right?
But not like anything.
You need a bit of help, right? Yeah,
exactly. Definitely. I mean.
Because you want to make sure, especially in a diet like that, you want to make sure you can cook something that's good
substantial,
for your health, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Substantial, something good for your health. And yeah. It can be, if you don't know how to cook, yeah, it definitely can be more challenging to have something you enjoy, something, you know.
Have that go-to thing.
For sure.
Like, you want to do it and not just throw pizza pockets in the microwave.
Oh, yeah. When I have no idea what the fuck to do, I'm making a grilled cheese 10 out of 10 times. I just don't know what else to do.
So, did you ever have a trouble with, like, other people not seeing the other side of that? Did you have any trouble where you'd probably want to eat something, but then you'd go out with somebody and they'd be kind of not understanding what you're thinking? Was that kind of, like, tough mental space for you?
You've had it. I never really had, like, I mean, obviously I've done activism and stuff like that, so you get people, it's more of a, kind
community?
Of a, well, community, but also, like, you're putting yourself in a position where someone's going to argue with you about it or give you more shit or... I've never really had it with, like, friends or family being, like, nothing negative. I mean, maybe they're like, I don't really understand it. Or, like, I don't know, like, what are you going to eat? You know, silly questions, whatever. It never really bothered me. I guess it's more just, like, yeah, like, you try to, like, explain it and they're, you know, you feel like you're talking to a brick wall sometimes.
Yeah, I know, because people are just kind of set.
You know, people aren't thinking about it as much as you are. You like, you feel like,
especially
oh, people should
you're
be,
passionate
thinking,
about
people should
it,
be
right?
thinking about this. But like, yeah, you know, it's just something I'm really, really passionate about. I never really had, I mean, of course, it's not like it's getting better. It's not like a widely accepted thing. So you definitely got to be more, it's more work. But, you know, when you're passionate about it, it's kind of just like, you know, whatever, I'm used to it now. And
so kind of on that note, you were talking about how you've kind of had some different activism activities that you've done.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any like crazy stories from any of the activism missions you went on, any protests that you've went into, anything that like
nothing
any
crazy
stories?
I mean, it's had its positives and negatives. I mean, you know, I've met people I really liked what they do. I've met people where I'm like, I'm not really sure I like that way of doing it.
Like,
I mean,
the really extreme people, you mean? Or?
Have you had any
not,
like opposition
I mean,
on
I think
the other
there's
side?
A place for that. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, like,
Any fisticuffs up to close or no?
Not really. I mean, I've had people get like really close to my face and be like, you know, like, what are you doing about this?
Really?
And like, I'm kind of like, well, I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to live like the way.
Supporting my beliefs.
Supporting my beliefs and just being very like calm about it. But, you know, people, it's definitely like people get really, you know, intense about it.
Such a two-way side too, because everyone always rags on like vegans, like they're like the extreme people that are like protect all these animals and stuff. Like, then you have those other guys, like the devout meat guys, and those guys are just as weird. They're just as annoying.
And
you have that for every community.
It's definitely
really.
Like something where I mean, you're seeing if you're seeing a violent video or you're seeing, it's gonna bring up a lot of emotions, and you're gonna have adrenaline, and so you get, I understand that and going into it right, and you have to, and but I mean, like nothing. Nothing really drastic. I mean, I've had good experiences, I've had bad experiences, I've learned, I've learned how I want to present the issue, you know.
Yeah.
I've learned like there's so many people fighting for different things. I didn't even know there was so many different,
like, subgroups.
Especially in the city, like for social issues, for all sorts of different issues. I mean, like, you know, there's all sorts of things that we need our help.
Need addressing,
and it can be overwhelming, but I mean, I think if people are willing to, you know, take time out of their lives whenever they can and do something about it, it's a great thing. So
I kind of think on that note, not to get too deeper into this, but I think in about, what was it, a beginning of third year, you kind of realized that the education system that you were going through studying kinesiology was kind of not the path you wanted to take anymore.
Yeah.
And you decided that first semester of third year, you decided maybe school wasn't for you. You decided, I know you kind of switched programs.
Yeah.
Went through philosophy from kinesiology.
Yeah.
And you decided there's no point. Would you say that the money was not worth it anymore? And you decided you wanted to go on a
different path?
Yeah,
I mean, definitely going to like a big university. It's not a cheap university. And I think I just felt overwhelmed with like, you know, it's hard. I mean, philosophy is definitely a cool thing, but it's hard to see. It's not like a practical, you know, you can go into law. I just didn't see myself in the headspace to like pick a path, like am I going to animal law or like, I don't know. It's tough, right? It's
tough, and
I just felt like, you know what, I gotta take some time, you know, take care of myself, take care of my head, take care of my finances, take care of my health, you know.
That's the worst part, especially when you're fresh out of high school. Like, it almost seems like it's just like you gotta pick something now, and it's just like they're forcing you all this, especially when you're in school, like they egg you on with minors and like the majors and all this stuff. You gotta pick your paths and all this stuff,
and you feel like
it's too much pressure.
Like a failure if you don't
exactly.
You know, you don't complete it, or you know, it's
not at all. You're,
I think,
like,
everyone's
so young out of high school. Like 18 when you come out of high school, you've got your whole life ahead of you.
I know,
it's crazy. There's nothing wrong in taking a couple of years. Like, I took a couple of years off. I've been through 3 different programs at this point now. Like, I barely know what I want to do.
Yeah,
it's far. Exactly. I hate that. It's so harped on to be like, you got to figure this stuff out. You don't, though.
So I have a couple questions on that, Jake. I had a couple written down here along this line of kind of going into school,
figuring
it's not for you, and then deciding what you want to go from there. So do you kind of, I'm just looking for your thoughts on the education system.
Yeah.
As Jack said, rushing into school. Do you have any thoughts on kind of how your choices were made based on making a decision when what? How old are you when you go into university?
17, 18.
And do you have any, like, kind of thoughts on the education system?
I think that's
system?
Definitely something, like, if I were a high school guidance person, or I'd be like...
Teachers in general, too.
Taking a year off to work and go into the world and kind of see what it's like, you know. There's so many things you don't understand, like work politics, that, or just, like, you know, things and barriers that get in people's way. Different, there's so many different lives out there and so many different ways to live your life, I think.
Especially now.
I mean, ultimately, you have to make a decision in your life, and that's life. You just know, like, you can't press a pause button and be like, I want to go here, I want to go there, but...
But you can't hit a fast-forward button and just keep going and,
but
like,
try to rush
through things.
I think
you gotta...
it's like, you know, your guidance counselor, like, this is what you want to do at 18, you know, I want to be an athletic therapist, work for a professional sports team, but... I mean, not that it doesn't happen for, you know, I evolve, you know, I become more interested in different things.
Well, you were interested in that throughout first year. I remember the end of first year, you were still interested in it. But as you kind of evolved your life, you figured going into second and third year, that maybe wasn't for you anymore, right? So
I'd just say, like, there needs to be more guidance on, like, you know, take your time. You know, I mean, don't feel like you gotta figure out your life when you're 18, 19. Because... But at the time you think you can, right? Like, you're like to your parents, like, I know what I'm doing, I know what I want to do.
It seems
and
good at the time,
in their head, like, laughing.
Especially when friends
they're
are all around.
At
like,
you.
Look at our friend group. Like, everyone pretty much stayed in what they went for. And, like, that's, I mean, a lot of you guys went for the same thing. Like, a lot of commerce guys and mostly engineering and then
journalism.
But yeah, you kind of look around, and you're just like, oh god, like everyone else is figuring this out. Like, why can't I? But it's not like you don't have to like keep. You don't have to.
But you guys kind of went into more unique programs where it was like, if you don't like this, you're kind of fucked. But when I go into a business program, I go down business, but
accounting and
exactly. So it's a bit of a different story as well with kinesiology. It's not like it's a very
and your
broad
interests
thing,
change
right?
all the time.
Yeah,
like your interests are like what you like at 18 is not what you're gonna like at 22, and like it's kind of crazy that like you. Picking a career at eight, like you're picking a career to pay all this money to go into, and then a year later you'd be like, "Wow, I really fucking hate this." And it's just like, "What do you do then?"
Definitely,
and then
it
sucks.
Definitely,
and yeah, it's such like a thing that should be harped on. I think more in education. I don't know what high school is like anymore. Maybe they do talk about this now, but when I went, it definitely
totally,
wasn't.
Yeah,
like that.
I just think like, I mean, there's so many different paths, and they try to explain it to you in like careers, but it's like they really don't touch on. You know, like
anything outside
what it's
of the sphere of what is normal, right?
Or like, what's it gonna take to do this career? Like, there's some paths where it's like, in two years you can make $50,000, or like, some things just take long, and you gotta teach kids like patience, and I don't know. I think there's just a lot of anxiety around.
Oh yeah.
You know, you have to define yourself by your career and your money and your life in a certain time period, but it's like, I don't know, just 40-year-olds who are like. I don't know what I want to do, like, and that's fine. Like, I think you just got to learn to be happy within yourself, and that's probably the hardest thing is not everyone's going to see your path the way you see it or your progression or your kind of, you know, your philosophy on life. And I think that's why I became interested in philosophy is like, I was like, wait a second, I got to question like all the shit I've been told about life. Yeah. Like, what is success? What is to me? What is, you know, and obviously, there's certain milestones, like, you wanna support yourself, you know, you don't wanna, you know, there's, at least to me, you know, everybody has their own things, but at the same time, you gotta be willing to cut yourself some slack and realize, like, you know, it takes time to learn stuff. You can't just be like, I know it all, I can do whatever. No, it takes time, it takes effort, and, but you can't beat yourself up for trying and failing.
I mean,
or trying and not knowing better than, you know, first time going to university. I don't know. Thought I knew what it was like.
I think that's kind of leads me into my next point. That's a great point, Jake, kind of not knowing what's going on. But on that point, as somebody who has kind of taken the university route and figured it was not your choice, do you have a sort of regret with that? And how was it like to deal with that kind of regret of leaving? Or did finding your own path, whether it be working for organizations that supported your cause, veganism, or working for a job that supported your cause, did that kind of make it better? Because for me, regret is a big problem, especially in today's society. There's a lot of pressure on people our age. So I think a lot of people have regret. Was that something you kind of faced when you decided to drop out?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I was like, you know, you don't get that time back. You know, your first time going to school and I had a lot of high hopes of meeting people and it being a really great experience. And like, I'm not going to lie, there was more to be desired out of what, I mean, ultimately it was like effort I put into it. You know, like I'm not the most outgoing person. So you can easily kind of just get into a certain headspace where you feel like people don't like you or think a certain way. And I don't know, it just made me think about obviously like that kind of thing more. And I kind of dwelled upon it. I guess, like, you know, I spent a lot of time dwelling on, like, the regret, like, all this big mistake, and it ultimately was really hard on me, and I was really hard on myself. But then, you know, the more I reflected on it, I was like, I still learned all skills, life skills, and, like, you know, working with businesses now, like, I may not have taken business, but,
you know, how to,
you know, interpersonal skills and kind of, like, you know, you learn how to have to organize your life, and you learn how to, like, kind of, you know, have to get things done when you don't want to or push yourself or kind of deal with, you know, you don't get an assignment on time. There's consequences. There's, you know, it teaches you a lot
it's
of
like
different.
It's like life, right?
Yeah, it teaches you a lot of things.
And putting on like a face just to be like, I don't want to do this today, but
you know,
I got to go out there and I got to say.
You're going to lose money. Yeah. You're going to have to, you know, pick yourself up, dust yourself off. You're going to have to deal with a lot of stuff at the same time as an adult that you're not used to when you're a teenager. And I think it's definitely like, made me a more hardworking like person, like definitely better prepared me, whether I think, you know, maybe it could have gone better, maybe I could have more skills, have more knowledge that I just kind of let go or let myself go, and that's probably my biggest regret. But it's just kind of like, but ultimately, you know, I mean, I've had a lot of great experiences since then, and I probably wouldn't have had those, you know, if I didn't have go on this path. So,
and I think for that, it's really about what I really admire with you is you made a decision, and although it may not have been the most popular decision among some of your friends, among yourself even,
right,
you made a decision that you thought was right. And I really, that's not a decision that a lot of people our age would have made, so I really respect that. You really
respect that, yeah.
And on that note, so...
You gotta care about yourself at the end of the day.
You decided you were gonna go back home, you were gonna drop out of school, you were gonna make sure your mind was right, your psyche was right, and then from there, you worked a couple jobs and you decided Copper Branch was a spot where you could find a job.
Yeah,
you wanna talk about that organization? I know it's a plant-based organization. I was looking online, kind of researching it. 100 stores by the end of the year, 2020. So it's a really up-and-coming up-and-coming organization. What do you have to say about working for Copper Branch and your experience there?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's cool. It's like started in Montreal by a chef in Montreal, and they have like, I think like 20 restaurants in downtown Montreal alone. So it's really popular there, obviously.
Yep.
The owner of my store is like kind of like a pilot for Ontario. So she's kind of involved with a lot of opening a lot of the stores.
And it's just...
Yeah,
on King Street in Bowmanville, so really close to home.
So
right?
Like, she owned the one in Brooklyn first, and it's a really, it's like one of the, it's like the third most successful Copper Ranch out of all of them. It's really busy up there. So.
And on that note, can I explain what Copper Ranch is? What kind of food they serve?
Yeah, so it's kind of like, I mean, it's fast food, but it's healthier fast food, which is kind of a new concept. I mean, you go to a lot of places, you can get, you know, whatever junk, right? But this is at least, you know, something that's somewhat healthy, and you can get it quick on the go. And I think it's definitely something that people want more, is like, you know, people are busy, and it's convenience in modern times is something that obviously it's hard to get away from. So I think having, you know, a business where, you know, encourages people to eat healthy for themselves and kind of you know, be able to stop in, and I know I've had a lot of customers, like, they appreciate the new kind of business and stuff like that, as opposed to, you know, only having, like, a McDonald's or something like that.
Yeah. Compare it to, like, a like kind of a plant-based Freshie type vibe, or...?
Sort of, yeah. I mean,
Freshie still sells meat, though, so I don't think...
No, I know, but plant-based Freshie, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess kind of like that. Like, we have Power Bowls, I mean, we have burgers, sandwiches, smoothies, all sorts of stuff, so I guess it's kind of... Kind of like that sense, but
I've heard nothing but good things about it. Like, Amanda raves about it. Amanda and her sister are like all raving about this.
They've got a couple of good brand ambassadors too, right? I saw Bianca Andreescu, Jesperi Kotkaniemi as well with the Habs.
Yeah.
So, you guys? On that note, something just for my own knowledge, and to be honest, I'm not really well versed in this type of information, but I'm seeing, before I used to see a lot of, this is vegan food. But I'm seeing now, I could be wrong, and you can call me out for it, but it seems like now it's the more the language is plant-based.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between the two? Is it a bit of shift in culture? What's the reason from it being vegan to plant-based now?
I think there's a lot of triggering things when people think of the word vegan kind of thing. A lot of people picture, like, you know, the angry, enraged kind of animal rights person, which, like, I've been. But also, like... Maybe plant-based is the friendlier thing. Like, you're kind of like, I don't know, people, you know, language obviously matters. Like, people are more, maybe more inclined to go somewhere where it's like plant-based rather than vegan.
It's a bit more subdued. It's like,
well, not such a label. I think a lot of people take that label and they're like, it's so, feels so strict. And so, like, you know, whereas it's, you know, plant-based is a little more of a friendly term, I guess.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I hate to put it in words, but like kind of like a marketing play to kind of reach out to everyone, on the plant-based.
I guess plant-based is more like, you know, just involves like the food, whereas vegan maybe is more of like a
lifestyle,
a term for an ethical lifestyle that involves like clothing and, you know, not harming animals and sort of like, it's more of a broader term.
So I think we've kind of talked about your choices in being vegan. We've kind of expressed how your choices have been changed since university. I think let's move on to kind of, I think especially going through your mental health has been affected through university, and also how you're feeling a lot better now that you're making these, for once, sustainable food choices, sustainable ethical life choices, as well as working for a company that you feel good about?
I mean, definitely, like, when I was at the point of, like, leaving university, I'd let it get to a point where it was, like, I just couldn't manage it anymore. I had to be like, Mom, I can't. Like, I just at the point where I can't, you know, I don't want to use, like, coping mechanisms. I just wasn't using good coping mechanisms.
Yeah. It's a tough environment, too. Cause it's just,
yeah, and, it, like, yeah. I was changing to a program that was new, and it's, like, the heavy reading load and, like, writing
papers. You don't have time to yourself, and, like,
it's, yeah, it's a tough school, too. Like, to
yeah, and ultimately,
in.
Like...
You're really going to be all in.
Got yeah. really bad. I got really depressed, you know, thinking about, like... I mean, the world's a hard place to take in. I mean, it's especially yeah, no, right yeah. now, like, it's a lot of bad news out there. So you kind of get into a headspace where, you know, if that's all you can focus on, like, it's hard. So
I think it's good to see somebody who, like, kind of takes that negative situation, makes it into a positive, like yourself. So I think kind of like, what are some of the coping mechanisms you can use now? So, for example, I know you're kind of into gardening, farming, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You want to talk on kind of the hobbies you've gained since leaving university and kind of picking up these, like, really cool non-traditional things that kind of we couldn't relate to, but that kind of give you euphoria and happiness?
Yeah, definitely. I guess it was just, like, kind of before, like, I always wanted to, you know, have more time for hiking and getting outdoors, and I guess part of that, like, I like Kingston, but I felt kind of like, oh, man, I just don't have time to do that kind of thing, or...
We kind of restrained to our student ghetto.
Yeah, and kind of like school. Solitude. Student like, ghetto. I'm kind of the type of person that has to have some solitude to myself sometimes. Like, yeah. I need it, and, you know, I just find, like, you know, escaping to the woods is kind of like a break from, you know, that modern world, and maybe you get to escape into a bit of a, you know...
Yeah, it's tough to do it that house too. Cause I stayed there for a weekend. You have a Chance song bumping 24/7. You have the same album.
Yeah,
bumping.
I guess it's just like kind of my personality, and you know, I just something I had to get out and express for myself and feel. So I guess just like yeah, you know, like being connected to nature is something I've realized is really important for me, and so I had to just take the steps to you know. Do it for myself. And it's hard to, like, you know, like, he's talking about, you know, leaving my friends. And I don't know how you guys felt. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Like, you feel like, oh, yeah, you're just going home. But, you know, you feel like, you know, those people are, you're in their lives every day. And you just get up and leave and you don't talk to them for a while. And it's not because you don't want to, but you just you feel like you're going through a lot. And you kind of gotta, like...
Take some time to yourself,
take
right?
some time and just be like, okay, I mean, I can explain it, but... I gotta just live and heal a little bit. So, yeah.
So you kind of talked about a bit of gardening coping mechanisms there.
Yeah.
Would you been interested in kind of gardening your own weed? And what are your thoughts on the weed legalization? Because me and you haven't seen each other probably within the last couple of years. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on weed being legalized. I know Jack is really interested in that. I would like to hear your thoughts on that.
Man. I love it.
I mean, like, yeah, like... I feel like it's kind of stupid how it hasn't been legal, whereas like
yes.
alcohol and
the
tobacco and
the
equally as harmful
it's
drugs.
Terrible,
it's
just
way
absolutely
worse.
Terrible.
They
but
take your weed before you go on a plane ride, and then they offer alcohol on the plane.
I mean, it's just a plant. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, when people lace it with different things, I think it can get
that's
weird.
Their own discretion. But to whatever.
Ultimately,
added,
I think the government just wanted to regulate it so they can make a bunch of tax dollars.
100%.
So
yeah,
I mean, obviously,
that's
like,
it. And then they overcharge for you.
Obviously, weed and CBD and all
I
that stuff.
Oh,
getting,
I'm CBD. With my arthritis, I'm CBD
yeah,
is going to be in my
you
diet.
You
got to
get on the CBD.
Right?
A lot
everyone's
got to
get on CBD.
So I mean, I think it's a honestly a great. Thing I don't know I mean as long as people are using it responsibly like any other you know legal substance
I've...
you know you don't want people getting on the road and all that shit but,
oh yeah no I wouldn't do that
I mean you know if you want to come home and your way to you know unwind is to have a joint like why
yeah, what's
I
the difference
you?
From having a glass of wine or a,
yeah, like,
a pint of beer right
what am I gonna do to stop you
I hate smoking but like I use it just like I get really like I have bad anxiety I get anxious all the time. I use it just to calm down. I use it. It slows me down. I'll do it before I just do like a bunch of homework.
I mean, so many other countries use
it. Chill. It's
drugs,
just,
and it's not like so stigmatized where people are like, oh, I got to do it. I think it's like we need to make it more drugs, more like it's okay to do. I think it gets bad when people are like isolating themselves and like using it as like such a terrible thing. I think we need to have more conversations about like,
people drink
alcohol to unwind, and I think it's okay, but we need to make it so like it's within a group or a setting where people feel like, you know, it can be done responsibly and safely. And
rather than somebody sitting at home and doing it themselves.
If you have a long work week and it's a Friday and you want to unwind with your friends and have a bunch of beers, I don't understand how that's any different than just taking some THC, whether it's like smoked, gummies, edibles, any other thing.
Yeah.
And just like kick back. I use it and I'll fully go to school and I'll just chill because I get nervous. I get anxiety. I love using them.
Yeah, I think it's just like...
It's a great way to just to calm down.
Educating people, using it responsibly. I mean, ultimately, people...
You gotta know your limits and play within them.
Do whatever the fuck they want to do. Like, I believe in that, too. Like, ultimately, if somebody wants to get high every night, I mean, it's gonna affect your life.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, I think for public safety, obviously, we want regulations, we want laws, we want legislation. And
it's the same way alcohol is regulated. Yeah, exactly. It just should be that way. There should be no difference from going to a beer store and purchasing a case of beer and going to another store and just buying like a bag
of
joints or whatever.
It's a new substance, so the population has to get used to it. Totally, so yeah. I totally agree with you, Jack. Eventually, it should be the same as alcohol.
Well, it is getting
obviously.
Many shops pop up now.
It is a new substance, so you kind of got to ease into it, so the population is used to it.
Oh, I'm not just saying flood the market, but
totally, yeah.
So kind of going off cuff here, but. Another thing that I really admire about Jake is his lack of social media presence. So I think when we were together, you did have an Instagram, you did have a Twitter.
Yeah.
You weren't the most active user, but you kind of, when you decided to get out of university, kind of came home, you decided social media was not the best for you. So could you kind of talk on what was the reasoning behind that choice? And as well, to piggyback on that, kind of how that's made you feel since then? Because for sure, for me, if I could have deleted social media, I think I would have felt a lot better. I would have had a lot less distractions. So I kind of just want to get your opinion on, first of all, quitting social media, and then how you felt since doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think like it became a bit of a crutch. I mean, there's a lot of studies that talk about like dopamine we get from, you know, checking leper likes, checking our, you know, our screens, you know.
The blue light.
It's a sense of dopamine.
I love that term.
When you're feeling kind of low or you're feeling anxious, it's kind of like, it's a drug, essentially. Like, we're just talking about weed. I mean,
like weed, it should be legal when I get back on this tangent.
Yeah, like, exactly.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
But yeah, like,
I mean, look at that.
I just found it kind of like, you know, I felt like, you know, you feel like you got to share your stuff. You got to feel like, you know,
I'm doing something.
Everyone must know. And it's like, realistically, probably no one else gives a flying fuck. So it's like, why don't I just experience these things and have them feel good for me? And, like, I mean, I know people use it and they don't necessarily feel that way. I noticed for myself, it was, like, almost making me angry that I was, like, had it. But it's almost like, why am I looking at other people? You know, why am I wasting my time? I just found it, like, you know, I think it can be used, like, thoughtfully and, you know, well, keep connected, but I found it was just too much. I just felt like I had to take a break and kind of just be in the present and just kind of enjoy my life and not feel like it had to be recorded or looking at someone else or that kind of thing. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely respect that because
it's something I could never fucking do. It's like the thing I'm like, oh, I just need to get off my phone.
But Jack, you're not somebody who would like post on Instagram for clout. Your last Instagram photo was probably on Christmas night when you... It's not like it's... It's not like you're constantly posting on Instagram,
I don't remember.
Right?
My last one, I think, was 2 years ago, I think.
Exactly. Or like, I mean, you're putting like, a
not
nice...
that you couldn't be an influencer. Yeah. Like...
It's like you're putting a nice photo out for your girlfriend or something. It's not like you're...
Oh, she made me do it.
Exactly.
she fully said, she's like, I don't want to like... I want to show my mom what you look like. I don't want to see your picture from 2015.
But that's the thing,
where
right?
Where I'm wearing a flat snapback hat.
It's almost become
a tap-out
like
shirt.
It's like something you gotta do, right? Like,
it's really
almost, it's like a social currency a bit. Like,
yeah, 100%.
If you don't have Facebook or Instagram, and your employer's like, "What the fuck's wrong with this guy?" Or like,
people fully think that.
Are you fucked? Like,
fucking look at like,
how can I look at who you are or what you do?
Like, I don't know if you've seen the fucking that Netflix show, You. That's like fully talked about. Like, he's like a serial killer. Yeah. He's like hiding his identity. He jumps states, and they're like, "You don't have Instagram?
Yeah.
Are you a serial killer?" And he's like, "Oh fuck!" But yeah, like people legitimately do think this.
Yeah, I don't know. It was almost just kind of like liberating to be like, I don't have to have a fucking social identity to someone else, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Look inward a little more, right?
So we kind of talked about social media. I know another, you kind of got away from that, but I know something that you were really interested in was music. I know you, first of all, love to listen to music as well. You like to produce your own music. So kind of you want to talk on what music you're listening to and if you're still kind of playing the guitar, if you're still singing, you want to talk about that for a bit?
Yeah, definitely still playing the guitar and then, you know, trying to sing a little bit more. I've always kind of been like a little, you know,
I can't. A bit better, a bit more of a beat than me, that's for sure. He wouldn't be shy to let me know.
Fuck, you gotta hear this guy. Tom's, there's I'm a three musicians on this guy.
I'm a bit tone deaf.
This guy's Jake, a rapper now, though.
Jake wouldn't be shy to let me know that I couldn't tap my knees as well as he could.
Yeah, I guess just like singing and stuff. I mean, we have open mic nights at my work like every month, so I've been trying to sing in front of people and, you know.
Is it just singing?
Yeah. So does that usually do like clear people want, out like, so you can mop the floor or what?
Yeah, usually.
How long do you get? How long do you get?
Jake gets up there and he's like, "All right, we need to get people out of here." Like, you know, I'm just kidding.
Songs. I'll do a set in front of him.
Yeah.
Are they self-made songs? So I know you made some songs yourself. Or do you usually sing?
Like covers and stuff. I don't know. I feel like personal stuff. I'm not the confidence level yet.
It's hard to relate to people.
I totally wish I was. I mean, maybe if I. I don't know, it's hard to find the time to write. It takes time to write.
Exactly.
I feel like it's something that you actually, you're not just like, I just fucking wrote this.
So I know you're a big City and Color fan. Are there any other cover? What are some of your covers you like to sing when you go up on the open mic?
Well, I've been really into, I mean, I don't know, like, he's kind of a more of a
Canadian indie
guy. His name's Tim Baker.
Travis Barker?
He kind of is like a Canadian folk artist. And I don't know, I like a lot of his stuff, like, kind of like a lot of his, you know, it's kind of about simple things in life and kind of a lot of imagery and kind of stuff that I can
good
kind
lyrics.
Of feel. Yeah, I kind of could really feel it. So kind of been channeling that a lot and just playing that stuff. But yeah, I mean, you know, I cover some stuff with my sister that she likes and
she likes kind of to bond sing as well.
Oh, my sister's an amazing singer, yeah.
Better than you?
Oh, much better.
Suck on that, Jake.
But yeah, I mean,
anything just other than Travis Barker, you still listen to City and Color?
It's ingrained into his head now.
I mean, his new album, I'm not gonna lie, I was not as keen on his past, but
I'm not that.
I know he's definitely like going more like poppy, which, you know,
hey, gotta do what you gotta do, get the bag. That,
but yeah, absolutely. I mean,
fuck, I don't blame him.
Yeah, but totally, like, I mean, I listen to a lot of Young the Giant. I don't know if you heard of them
I know two of their songs.
Ever heard of it? No, yeah. That's a good band.
Honestly, like, I find myself just like listening to so much shit, but I don't get sick of it somehow. I really probably need to find more new artists to listen to, but
so kind of on that note, what are some of the best concerts you've been to recently or in your past?
Oh, yeah.
What are your favorite concerts?
You know, my sister, I've been to some. How long was that? I guess it was in like 2018. I don't know, time flies. I saw Hozier.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So that was really good. He's like crazy.
Where'd
tall.
You see him?
At Rebel in Toronto.
Oh, really?
He played
yeah,
Rebel?
Yeah, he played Rebel. It was packed. Honestly,
that's interesting.
Annoyingly packed.
What's the environment? I fucking hate Rebel.
I was grinding against a couple in front of me, like not on purpose.
Fuck,
but
I fucking hate. I went to a concert for Rebel. And
it
kind of
sucked that way because I was like, I like this. Luckily, he's like a super huge guy.
Yeah. Oh,
so
okay,
you could
yeah.
see him from like a kilometer a away if you had to, but. He is. I mean,
he's a handsome boy.
But yeah, I mean, I saw Young the Giant at Rebel as well with my sister. That was probably my favorite one.
You're rebellious.
Oh, what else did I go? I went to Tim Baker recently on the Danforth. It's a nightmare driving in, but
Danforth is a great venue.
Somehow I got a parking spot. I just happened to get one. Someone pulled out, and it was weird timing.
I've had the train every time to it.
Did you go with your sister or your girlfriend?
Oh, my girlfriend. Yeah, nice. Yeah. So we went. That was nice. It wasn't like super packed or anything. Kind of like more of a chill concert.
Danforth's nice for that. Unlike Rebel.
What else have I been to? I've been to something else. Maybe I haven't.
There's probably 500 concerts you've been to.
Maybe
but
I haven't.
I guess. Oh, I feel like there's something else.
Who's that one guy you really like?
I mean, I went to Kings of Leon, but that was a.
Oh, fuck, really? I want to see them Kings live. Of Leon. I would love to see them live.
That was really good. They honestly, like, they're amazing. They didn't even talk. They just played, like, 25 songs.
That's how it should be. I hate when they fucking talk.
And at the end, they were just like, no encore. They were just like,
oh, too cool. That's like, sick.
But, I mean, they played, like, way more songs than most people would play in a set. Most people are like, they ramble between.
That's how I went to see Cage recently, and they, Cage the Elephant, yeah. They never fucking said it. Yeah. Stage dive once, hop back on, did two more songs.
Yeah, they were like,
and then, and then we left before
but they did say, off. Like, we love playing in Toronto, and they said the stuff like that, like, we were nice, but they were like, we're just going to get to it. And
yeah, as long as you're not an asshole about it, you just dip, and you're like, ah, fuck you.
I mean, honestly, their lead singer's had some troubles with, like, he's usually, like, he's hammered and saying rock star. Stupid shit. Yeah. Who? So I feel like he's toned it down.
Cage?
Kings of Leon. I've heard the same stories. I've heard he's a little wild.
But, I mean, sometimes. Yeah, you gotta love that that whiskey voice. I mean, kind of wish I had it, but I don't want to get pounded on whiskey. I mean,
it's like the dark voice or the whiskey voice.
Yeah.
So I think we kind of talked on a lot of good topics today. We talked about veganism. We talked about your time at Copper Branch. We talked about your time at university, as well as, like, kind of coping with what happened at university and dealing with it with things like farming, dealing with the things like music. So we kind of want to go full circle and talk about kind of what's the dream going forward, Jake? Like, I know you're working at Copper Branch now. Yeah, you're doing really well there. Kind of what is your plan kind of going forward? What is your kind of 5-year goal? What's your 10-year goal? Kind of what do you want to do? Because we like to end the podcast kind of talking about our guests, like,
totally
what they
want
to do. Yeah.
I mean, my dream is honestly to have some property and kind of grow a lot of my own food and kind of be connected to that every day.
Live
I mean,
off the land.
It's kind of a pipe dream, but you never know. Yeah, live off the land kind of thing. That's why I'm trying to learn a lot about it and kind of put a lot of effort into that. But I don't know. I don't know where life's going to take me. You never know. Maybe I'll want to go back to school at some point. I'm kind of more open to just taking my time and, you know, enjoying it. And I guess, you know, like, travel in between. And I mean, I like the idea of, you know, bringing vegan food to people in different, you know, different settings, right? Like, you have a diverse population. So I think, like, you know, being able to grow some food or at least be involved in the process and serving people the food. And I guess that's just kind of what I'm interested in, is, like, opening people up to the idea and hopefully seeing that change over the course of my lifetime, whether, you know, it explodes in the next,
I think you've seen it
fucking
within
already.
The last 4 years.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, whether it's a good business venture, I mean, ultimately that's kind of enticing me as well. This seems like a good idea in that sense, but also just, like,
I'm pretty sure, like, one of the biggest stocks to invest in is, like, plant-based shit.
Yeah, like, and combining it was just something, like, you know, I feel good about. And, you know, obviously I have a lot of different ideas with, like, what I personally want to do, like, being connected to nature and, you know, maybe having some animals and taking care of them. And I've met some really interesting people and their homesteads and visited them and things like that, and kind of seeing eyes into that life. Like, it's hard life, but, and, you know, you're not looking at coming rich, but I realize, like, there's so many different,
there's more things than money, Jake.
Perspective.
Say that, right? Exactly. I think
there's
that's
so many different perspectives
you've
on money, so many
rich
different
and happiness,
on,
not rich and money. That's
yeah, so I
life.
Mean, you know, I'm always learning, always kind of changing, and, you know, it can be frustrating, kind of feel like you're stuck, but you gotta take it day by day and see where it takes you. But
I mean, yeah, you get one life, might as well fucking be
absolutely
happy.
I mean, that's those are my dreams, but
you might as well just be happy with how you're doing it. You don't
think,
be fucking sad.
I think on that note, I'd really like to thank you for coming on, Jake.
100%.
You were definitely one of my best friends coming out of high school. You got me through my first 2 years of university, and I really appreciate that. Obviously, since then, you had to leave university and kind of find yourself, which I really appreciate. Not a lot of people at our age would do that.
Yeah, you gotta
so I really appreciate somebody who has a mindset and goes and follows it, whether and you kind of go against social norms. So I really appreciate you for doing that. And I think for me, even me and my girlfriend, we really do have, at least once a week, we'll eat something that is plant-based. And
yeah.
I don't think I would have done that without having Jake as one of my housemates, one of my best friends growing up. So although we haven't been the closest over the last 2 years, you've had to take time to find yourself. I think me and Jack both really appreciate you kind of coming on the podcast. We still text really frequently, so I just want to thank you for doing that. And any last words you want to say as we're on the mic still? I think you kind of said it in the last couple of minutes, but, like, I think anything you wanted to say to some of the friends you knew before, obviously you had to make some decisions in life, anything you want to say there on the open mic, as well, just like what you're doing right now. If you have like a social media venture, kind of coffee branch, you want to talk about that, the mic's open for you for the last couple of minutes on the Tom on the Rocks podcast. Me and Jack like to open it up to the gracious guests that
this
we have.
This camera, that camera. Is it the hot ones, baby?
All right, yeah. I mean, well, thank you. I mean, I think that's more than I deserve in terms of the description, but yeah, I'm glad.
Not
I,
a big deal.
I'm glad I had an impact on your guys' life. Definitely lots of laughs shared with you guys, you know, always helps, and definitely want to reconnect with all, you know, it's hard with your friends, you know, it kind of can feel like, you know, you've distanced yourself.
The doors are always open, though.
Definitely. Like, that's how it's, yeah, I mean, that's I how come, it should be with come them. Tonight, and it feels like we haven't missed a beat, so.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I guess just for the open thing, I mean, I don't really have a lot to endorse for myself. I do kind of work with an organization called Farmhouse Garden Animal Home. It's like a sanctuary for, you know, a few, like 30 or so cows. It's a really great story. You can look it up. CBC has a story about it. It's a farmer that turned his cattle ranch into a sanctuary, and he has an organic vegetable farm.
So for listeners, what would they Google? Tell us.
So they would Google, I guess, it's just Farmhouse Garden Animal Home is what you, okay. And there'll be a website.
Yep.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lots of cool photos of cows. Some of them are myself. I thought I took some good photos. So, I mean, if you want to give me a shout out for my photography.
Is that good?
You could do that, I guess.
100%.
I enjoy that. But, yeah, I guess I guess I'd just be like, you know, just try to inspire people to, you know, if something doesn't feel right, go out and try something new, pursue something new, because I've met a lot of great friends, had a lot of great experiences, definitely, like, grown and developed as a person, you know, I met my girlfriend at the sanctuary,
yep.
You know, just adds more of a dimension to my character, I think, you know, just making decisions like that, and so I think if you feel like you're in a tough place right now for people, I mean, this has obviously been somewhat of a serious podcast, but I guess to keep it light is just like,
no,
you know,
we need one of these though.
Take it seriously, but also, you know, you gotta cut yourself some slack and, you know, realize, you know, you can't control everything. You gotta go with it and you gotta enjoy each moment and, you know, do what you feels right and do what makes you feel good, and I think you'll find happiness that way.
So I think this has actually been a really good podcast. I know this is our 15th podcast, but of a milestone.
1-5.
So I think it was really nice to have somebody who has a different perspective than most people and is really not afraid to, first of all, react and live his life in a way that may not be aligned with everyone else. And that's why I really respect my friend Jake. So I'd like to thank Jake for coming on the podcast. Me and Jack are really to have him. Jake, thanks for coming on. Take it easy, everyone. Peace out.